You're listening to the Asia Pacific Report with Kiru Naidoo on Radio Islam. Welcome to the program. Kiru, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me, and Ramzan greetings to everybody.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Kiru, first and foremost, an Egypt Air passenger jet en route to Beijing was forced to make an emergency landing yesterday. What's the background to this?
Well, it was a threat that was lodged with the Egyptian aviation authorities. It turned out to be a false bomb threat. But this was an Egyptian Air passenger plane that was en route from Cairo to Beijing. And it was forced to make an emergency landing in Uzbekistan. Now, it was quite a significant aircraft with 118 passengers and 17 crew members on board. And the report is that the plane was safely evacuated at the Uzbek airport. And this was something that the Egyptian authorities had to take the necessary precautions with, especially since last month their Airbus 320, which was en route from Paris to Cairo, crashed in the Mediterranean. And that's still one of the aviation mysteries that's being unraveled. So it was largely a precautionary measure that the authorities had to take.
Then on the other front, Abu Sayyaf have freed four Malaysian hostages. Is this a significant development?
Well, it's significant in itself, in that it seems to be the product of some negotiations in the region, although the announcement was made by a Philippine military official. Now, initially, Abu Sayyaf had demanded 30 million ringgit, which translates into something like over $10 million, I think, for the release of the four men. In this region, Abu Sayyaf has largely taken as hostage Westerners who have ventured into the Philippines. Presently, there are hostages they are holding, and in April there was also a Canadian that was executed there. But for the families of the Malaysian men from Sarawak, this is very welcome news, but it's a practice of hostage taking that still persists in the Asia Pacific region, and not very many nations are enamored with Abu Sayyaf there.
Then Sri Lanka has admitted to tens of thousands of missing people in three-decade-long civil war. What's the next step for the government in Colombo?
Well, the first step from the government was the acknowledgement, which came yesterday, that 65,000 people were missing from its 26-year-long civil war with the Tamil Tiger rebels. But there was also a separate Marxist insurrection there. Now, this government of President Maithripala Sirisena has gone to great lengths to make a statement to say that past human rights violations will be addressed and that these will be done through independent probes, and that they were very keen to implement the resolution of the United Nations Human Rights Council. Now, you may recall that the former High Commissioner for Human Rights at the UN, Judge Navi Pillay, who is a South African, took an active interest in the human rights violations there. And the previous regime in Sri Lanka, led by the President Mahinda Rajapaksa, was scathing of the reports of the UN. But it seems now that President Sirisena is really keen to get to the bottom of this and deal with the issues that have dogged his predecessors in both Rajapaksa and Chandrika Bandaranaike.
Yes, so we'll watch that one closely to see what comes from
it.
We appreciate your time, Kiru. Thank you very much for sharing the information.
Very good. Thank you for having
me. Have a good day. Well, that was Kiru Naidoo with the weekly edition of the Asia Pacific Report, focusing on Egypt, as well as Malaysia, and then finally Sri Lanka, bringing us on to 21 minutes past 6.